Episode 211 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community that is gaming for the elderly, and today is March 19th, 2013. I am one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law in some places, and with us this week, we have Mr. Christopher Matthew.
I'm back. Hello, everyone. Fear not. I know you missed me.
You are back, and yeah, you were missed. You were missed.
Not a lot of people miss me. I'm kind of an eyesore.
You're not that bad. You're a pretty good looking guy.
I'm not comfortable with this conversation anymore.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Also on the show this week, News Quiz King, Richard Primrose.
Yeah. Remember there was a final example of underachieving to win. That was it last week. So yeah.
Oh,
hello,
yeah,
everybody.
I really was panicked at the end of that news quiz that you were not going to get that last question right, and I was going to have to go to a tiebreaker, and I had no idea what I was going to do for a tiebreaker because everything I had done was set up for other people, not you and Mr. Richard Webster.
You've always got the fallback, Greg, that if ever there is a tiebreak between two people, they have to guess the color of the other person's underpants. Try that.
I hadn't thought of that, but okay.
You tried hard, Greg, but Rich wasn't going to let you have that segue.
No, I know. He wasn't. I'm still going to try it, though. Speaking of Mr. Richard Webster, Mr. Webster, back to the show.
Yes, back again, unfortunately.
Unfortunately? Wow, I'm kind of hurt.
It's what we call basking in your own filth after last week's performance.
Well, you know, hopefully you changed out the water in the tub and things are a little cleaner and now you have a fresh start.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming back on the show. We clearly did not have enough PC talk last week, so we're going to address that this week with both you and Mr. Christopher Matthew.
That's right.
Yeah, I think we'll have a heavy PC conversation at some point.
Fantastic.
Someone who will not talk about PCs, though, this week, I'm at least fairly confident, Mr. Mike Chin, also on the show.
What's up, bitches?
It's like we've got the band back together, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting.
It's good. It's good. No, it's good. Yeah, it's fine. It's good.
Mike, are everything okay? Did the move, the office move happen?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I had to move offices last week, which... Like, because the place that I'm in is a bit of a shared space, so the woman that kind of runs it all, we went out for a meeting, we came back, and she went, sorry to this, guys, I know it's last minute, I'm just as stressed as you are, you've got to move out by the end of the week. And it turns out that day she told us was the only day we could do it, because we was working the rest of the week, we was filming and whatnot, so right. Stressful day, and then I was tired, and then the next day I had to film, but I'm fine now.
Are you still with the Voidoid boys then, or what?
So the Voidoid, we're all going to be reunited again in May in this room, because the shared room's being refurbed, all right? Like, you know, that's getting done out now, but for temporary basis, we've all been kind of moved apart. But it's all good, it's good news, because we've got walkie-talkies, which we give one to Void, which they're upstairs, and we're downstairs, so we just talk to them. And today we got our phones. Like... We got our phones back today, so we can just call them on the extension number.
Okay. So I like the talkie idea better, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see it now. You just get on there and what's up, bitches?
The guy from IT services is like, "Oh, do you want me to set up your phone?" He's like, "No need." Yeah, could you do that, please? Because we need a phone. Thanks. So, yeah, it's all good. But yeah, okay. Last week was busy, and like we had filming all week. And yes. There was very long days, very, very long days. So.
I appreciated the advance notice you gave me, letting me know you weren't going to make it on the show.
I'd like to give you at least 2 minutes notice.
So. I think it was like 15, but it was, you know.
I was just like, I'm so tired. I'm really tired. And I just can't do it. So, yep.
That's okay. Mr. Webster filled in.
It would have
admirably.
Been too much British, though, if I was there last week.
It would have been a lot of British. That would have been a lot of British.
Yeah.
It
would have been like an episode of Coronation Street.
Yeah. It's true.
Would it means nothing. Like British being about British.
It's true.
So moving on. A couple of things I want to clarify real quickly. Last week on the show, some things were pointed out to me. some things that weren't exactly correct. So last week on the show, we spoke about the NPD numbers. We talked about the Wii U only coming in at 60,000 per Michael Pachter. He had let loose on the NPD numbers. Apparently, that was his prediction. It was not the actual numbers.
Well, that's so got to be wrong then.
I know. It was definitely wrong, and so I wanted to come forward and admit to that. So it did not sell 60,000 units in the month of February. It sold 64,000 units.
Thank God.
So,
yeah. Save the company.
Yep. That's out of the way. Also, we were talking about EA and SimCity and the debacle there and how EA was not giving out refunds. Apparently EA did come forward and say that they were going to give out a free game to everybody. Yes. So, refunds though.
You know what the free games
were?
Still
accurate. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Sorry.
We'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah. Also.
Hit the Google, boys.
I got a text message from, Jay Schumacher. And, that's Shinyverse. He's a big Dust 514 guy. And, he sent me a message and he was basically telling me I was completely wrong. He's like, dude, there's no actual paywall. It's like microtransactions that you get premium gear and you got to keep it forever. But like you can upgrade stuff through just normal in-game currency and you don't have to pay anything. It's like totally free. And that's the way it sounded in my head when I read it.
All right. So does he talk like that?
It's going to sound a lot worse when he's pounding your face in.
Jay's not a violent guy, as far as I know.
He's from North Carolina, man. Those people are unstable, I'm telling
you. Crazy.
Yeah.
Also true.
If it's not him, it'll be hot chutney on your ass.
Yeah. Jay, I live in Philadelphia. So that's it. It's all, just want to clarify that stuff first before we dove into talking, games and stuff, which, we can do right now. Chris, what have you been playing?
I have actually played games this week, which is unusual for me. Let's see. So I'll wait on Tomb Raider. You guys didn't talk much about Tomb Raider last week, so I'm assuming maybe we'll talk about it this week. I don't know.
Yeah, I finished it.
I think it was because I was the only one on the show that had actually been playing Tomb Raider.
That's wise.
Yeah.
That's wise choice. Wise choice, Greg. That's why you're the host. So let's see. Of course, I've been playing Skyrim because I always play Skyrim. I played Far Cry. I picked up Far Cry 3 on a sale over the weekend.
Smart move.
Yeah, $30. Man, that game is great.
Yeah.
I'm glad
still
I waited.
Got it sitting here, man. I've still got it.
Yeah, you got to play it, man. Although, if you have other games that you want to play first, play those first. It's just a lot to do.
It's a big game.
Yeah, and it's all fun. It's all fast paced. It's kind of like Skyrim, except with the pace turned up. And guns.
I mean,
Mark,
you really can.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. I keep saying
that.
You're going to love it.
No orcs and elves, though. So you're okay.
Exactly.
There are pirates.
There are pirates.
And they
every
say
game needs a pirate.
The thing that the pirates say is so funny. Like,
yeah.
when they're talking.
Creeping up behind them and listening to his brilliant.
Yeah, and they're just moaning about everything. What is that smell? Someone should just go in and shoot me. Yeah, it's good. So I'm really liking it. The hunting challenges or whatever are challenging.
Right.
So I've only done two of them so far, right? So the first hunting challenge that I did, it was go here, pick up a shotgun and shoot 5 dogs. I'm like, all right, I can shoot 5 dogs with a shotgun. I was like, this isn't too bad. I figured the difficulty would slowly ramp up. The very next challenge was go here and use this bow to kill this tiger. And that was not so easy. The tiger killed me several times before I finally succeeded.
Wait for the bears.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, and the animals are somewhat clever the way they're programmed, right? So I thought, all right, let me see if I can find some place that I can stand where the tiger can't get to me, figuring it would just be the typical game AI where I'd shoot the tiger and he would charge me and I could then just kind of
jump on a rock and
jump up on top of a rock or up on a building. So I got up on a building. Because first I tried to get up on some crates, but the tiger jumped up and ripped my ball sack off. So I jumped up on top of a building. I was like, the tiger can't get up here. So I shot the tiger, thinking he would attack. No, he ran away. He said, "Oh, I can't get to that guy. I'm gonna run away." So I had to get on the ground and fight him. And It took several attempts, but it was good. So that allowed me to get to the maximum level ammo host or whatever. The supply drops, and I don't want to talk too long about Far Cry 3 because it's been out for a few months, but the supply drops, you know, where you have to race from point to point or whatever.
Right, right.
I was like, oh, for a seasoned veteran of Forza Motorsport like myself, how hard will this be? Turns out it's not as easy as I would like. Because the handling of the vehicles is somewhat unpredictable, especially the four-wheelers.
Right. Jeeps, open terrain, that kind of thing. Not exactly. Yeah.
Well, the Jeep at least generally will keep the wheels down. The four-wheeler keeps wanting to get rubber side up on me, and that's not good.
Isn't that kind of the knock on those four-wheelers?
I don't know. I haven't ridden a four-wheeler in a while, so I'm not certain.
I mean, Jeep is notorious for being top-heavy. Anyway.
Yeah, but anyway, the game is great. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I need to get back in.
I'll tell you what I loved was them. You know the challenges they've got on the rocks, where
kill as many as you can, and they've got a certain amount of time.
Yeah, they've got a really cool idea in that as well.
I haven't got to that yet.
Leaderboard, right. They get their name ingrained on that stone. So that's like a cool way of integrating like a leaderboard into the open world. It's wicked.
I haven't found any of those yet. I'll have to look. I did try the hang glider for the first time just now before the show. I'm not sure how to land it. I kind of...
Nose down?
What's that?
Nose down.
Yeah, apparently. Because, you know, I was just kind of cruising along. I was like, all right, this is cool. And all of a sudden, the thing started to drop. So I was like, all right. So I lined it up with a road, thinking I would just kind of come down and run.
Right.
I got to figure out how to land the hang glider. I know everyone's like, oh, you're a noob. Whatever. I am a noob. I've only been playing the game for a couple hours.
The way I handled the hang glider a lot was as I got real close to the ground, I would then just jump off of it.
Hmm.
And the glider would crash out in front of me, and I'd kind of take a little tumble.
Yeah, you can't use it again. What are you bothered about? Don't worry
exactly.
About.
Yeah. Wonder if I could land it in the trees or something. Anyway, so that's
I really
fun.
Want to play this now.
I believe that's called crashing into the trees, by the way.
Yeah, but the trees are softer than the road. played some more Tomb Raider. I think I'm about two-thirds of the way through the main story now, so I'm looking forward to finishing that.
Right.
It's good times. Good.
It is good.
Yeah.
And let's see, what else did I do? Oh, that's right. I whipped Greg's ass at XCOM.
So I get this message from Mr. CPM saying, would you mind jumping on XCOM? I'd like to try out a couple builds. You know, I'm getting ready to do my first multiplayer match. I'm like, all right, fine. So I jump on, and I'm like, you know what? If he's going to mess around with some builds, I'll play around with some builds and try something different, something that I wouldn't have done before. And so the first, I think the first build I did, it was all floaters and spitters, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that was right.
Yeah. And clearly not an effective squad. And I was just like, you know, all right, whatever. And then the next one was actually, I think, probably a halfway decent squad, but it had a cyber disc.
Oh, it was a really good squad. You just happened, I got lucky. You put the cyber disc right in line with my plasma sniper guy, so I was able to
critical one hit shot on the cyber disc, and it's gone. And from there, it went downhill.
Yeah.
And then the last match, I actually at that point I was like, okay, I want to put together something that's going to challenge Chris, and so I put together a two man team, basically just really buffed them out, And Chris pulled a nice sneaky move, which I had not come up against yet. But since having done some reading, I have heard it is quite the effective squad, which was three sectoid commanders, and I believe you had one drone.
Three sectoid commanders and one just plain sectoid as a scout.
Right, sectoid drone, yeah. And so the match is going on, and Chris and I are both just like, where are you? Where are you?
Yeah, we were creeping around the map.
Totally creeping around the map. And then I discovered his sectoid, and the first clue should have been that I saw him mind meld with the sectoid.
Yeah.
That was, you know, the only one that can do that is a commander. But instead of backing away, I leave my guys in place, and they were separated by some good distance as well. And then Mr. Matthew proceeds to, I took out his drone because I couldn't see his sectoid commander. The worst part is I had a rocket launcher and I could have just gone in and taken the rocket launcher to that area, probably killed the one sectoid commander, but I didn't do it. And not doing that cost me the match because he ended up mind controlling, my rocket trooper guy, and then he mind controlled my, sniper subsequently, two turns later.
That was the very next turn.
Yeah, it went quick. Yeah, it went quick. Once one went down, I really was in trouble. And so, yeah.
Yeah,
it was a lesson.
It was sneaky. I was sneaky on that one. So.
Yeah. And I got a good laugh because Mr. Matthew, you pulled off that very same tactic against Teflon 212.
Yeah. So we had I had my first match of the tournament last night and we met up and, it just happened to be that his squad was very similar to the one that you had. And I had the same exact squad and it was, he had a good plan, but it was unbalanced the way the squads were put together. Once I got the first mind control, I saw two, XCOM troops and I was like, okay, he's got the two beefy XCOM troops. I got to try to get one of them. And all of a sudden he had a floater appear behind me. Luckily I had gotten the mind control of one of his troops. And so I used that troop to take out the floater, and then mind controlled the other one. So it was good. It was a good match. We're going to try to get a rematch later in the week. And he'll be onto my game, so I'll have to come up with a new plan.
We're making sure everybody's onto your game.
Well,
now,
I've just broadcast it to the internet, so everybody knows.
Don't worry. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know, Mike. I know. It's not
so when
fault.
He comes to me playing it, I'm like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. And then the last thing that I played this week, although sort of – so I played a bit of Forza Motorsport 4 for reals. So the reason I wasn't on the show last week is because I spent the first 3 days of last week outside of Las Vegas at the Spring Valley Motorsports Ranch, where nice. We were hot lapping in Chevy Corvettes. I'd never done an event like that before. It was a lot of fun.
I bet.
Yeah. So the first day we went on the back straightaway and we were literally just driving up and down the back straightaway practicing upshifting and downshifting because you have to, you know, in order to not wear the engine out, you got to do it a certain way.
Right.
And then we were practicing doing turns and practicing braking. And, once we had all that, we started doing laps around the track and it was a lot of fun. What I was amazed with were the driving instructors, right? So we're going around the track and this is the amazing part. I'm following the driving instructor around the track and he's driving every bit as fast as I can. I don't have to slow down for him at all. He's able to gauge how I'm doing and stay just enough ahead of me that I can follow him. And the whole time he's looking in his mirrors, telling me what I'm doing wrong and what I'm doing well over a little two-way radio while he's driving his car. And I'm just like, man, that dude knows what he's doing.
Some skill.
Yeah, it was amazing. So I hope
that
to go back.
That dude was me.
It was you, Mike?
Yeah.
You disguised your voice very well.
Yeah,
So yeah, it was good. It was good. I hope to go back and do it some more.
So why was you doing that? Was that a present or did you?
No, well, it was. I guess it was a present to myself. So I bought a Corvette last summer, and so I was like, you know what? If I'm going to own this car, I'm going to learn how to drive it. So I went out there to do that, and I hope to actually get my own car. There's a few racetracks near me here that you can do lap days on. So I hope to get my own car out and do some laps. So I figured I'd learn some things before I went out on my own. So that's why.
Awesome. Right. Ah, cool. It's funny my friend Marsh, who I've spoken about before, last year, his birthday's in April, and I bought him for his birthday a luxury car day thing.
Oh, cool.
Where he gets to go in a Lamborghini and a Porsche and a Ferrari and an Aston Martin, I think. And he recently did that. He did it last week, I think. So that reminds me of that. And
Driving them around, or did he actually get to go to like a track?
No, he got to a track. And,
oh, nice.
And they give him, the only drawback is they don't give you very long in the cars, apparently.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So they give you about like 3 to 5 minutes of just razzing it around as fast as you can, and then you're back in.
Yeah.
So, but he got four. He got four goals on different ones, and I think he upgraded to another one as well. So you could.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds like fun. There's a lot of those places, like in Las Vegas. There's a lot of places that'll rent you those luxury cars.
Yeah.
For the day or whatever.
Yeah, there's a luxury car rental thing in Birmingham actually. Yeah.
Let's see. Right. And I think
rocking cars.
I think that's me. I think that's my list.
Okay. Well, let's jump to Mike real quick because
Tomb Raider discussion, right?
Yeah, let's have our Tomb Raider discussion.
Right, okay.
Let's talk about this. This is probably, well, for me, by far the best game I've played this year.
Yeah, it's definitely up there with one of the best games I've played this year. Although I am hearing rumors of BioShock Infinite just being phenomenal. So
right. But haven't played it yet.
I'd have to play in that Army of Two demo. I mean, whoa, it's got some competition. No,
I downloaded it. I'm afraid to start it.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, Tomb Raider. I agree, Greg. It's definitely the best game I've played this year. I was very impressed with it. I finished it now. I played a little bit of the multiplayer, but less said about the multiplayer, the better. Because it is awful. It's so bad that I got bored. I wanted it to end whilst I was the first round.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Is it awful or is it just, it's just not remarkable like the single player to the point that you just
uninspired. It's just like, wow, you know, what's the point in this?
I mean, it's serviceable. It was
pretty slow when I was playing it. I remember thinking, wow, like this is pretty laggy.
I didn't experience any lag when I played it, but maybe that is a problem. I didn't experience it, so that I couldn't speak to.
Mm.
We'll set multiplayer clearly. If you are picking up Tomb Raider for multiplayer, stop. Put your wallet back in your pocket.
Oh yeah, no,
do not do that. However, you should not. You should be picking up Tomb Raider just for the single player experience, and
it is worth it.
I'm confident in saying I think everybody should pick up Tomb Raider.
Yeah,
it is one of those games that is kind of up in must play category.
Yeah, I said this as well. Where like if you don't like Lara Croft, try it, and if you do like Lara Croft, try it because it appeals across the board. I think. I mean, there are some things in it that I don't think were fantastic, like some of the other characters in the game are pretty boring, and I found it laughable how they always have to find an excuse to kind of leave her alone, because every time you play, you're on your own, but overall, I think the game is top draw. There's not a lot wrong with it. Everything I have wrong with it is nitpicky, tiny stuff.
Yeah, you know what, I for me, I actually kind of liked that they found a way to keep it with her kind of as the main focus. So they always found that excuse to have them going off and doing something else and not, you know, being a tag along. I'm not a fan of games where you get this AI person that tags along, especially in something like Tomb Raider or an Uncharted. It just seems like I want to say it was Uncharted 2. When you have, I can't remember her name now, but she's with you, and she's kind of always behind cover. The blonde girl. Anyway, so you're in a firefight. You're in a
firefight. I know you're talking about
something. Right. Yeah, you're in the firefight with her, and she doesn't really help you. She doesn't really hurt you. If anybody comes up to her, she pretty much kind of takes care of her own.
Yeah.
But it just, I mean, to me, seeing her there, I'm like, do something. You know, help. And if they can't program the AI in well enough, then just don't have her there, or don't have a tag along there. Plus, Tomb Raider, the multiplayer, or sorry, the single player firefights, a lot of them were in a kind of more open environment, especially like Shantytown, where you're being able to jump up and kind of move around the environments and really get tactical. I thoroughly enjoyed.
I was talking to you while you was playing the Shantytown.
Yeah. In fact, you come back to it.
Yeah, you do. Watch
it, right. But the first time through, I'm trying to remember the sequence, but the first time through, they kind of do a boss battle, if you will, moment where you kind of cut off and you have to face the enemy. the first couple times I tried it, I kept getting killed because I was limiting myself to staying in that little area where you kind of trip the event.
The little, it's like a quad at the end, right?
Yep. I realized you could move out of there.
Oh yeah.
You could move back into Shantytown, and they would follow you as long as you were kind of within visual range. If you lost them, they would kind of stop pursuing you and just be on patrol waiting for you to come back. And that was a really fun moment because I was really able to use the environment a lot with just the exploding barrels. You know, gotta love the exploding barrels. And then utilizing just the shotgun. I love the shotgun in that game.
Yeah, it's good.
So much fun.
Devastating.
I've actually had the most fun with the pickaxe. Got the pickaxe upgraded so that I can use it as a weapon. And so a lot of times I'll just hide and wait for them to come to me and then just bam, bam, bam. You know,
Go behind them and press Y on the Xbox and
boom. Well, if you can sneak up behind them, you can do that. But in an actual fight, if you can find
you
cover,
can just tap Y, right? And it just has
you got to do it three times, right? It's three taps. Two taps stuns them and the third tap, kills them. I'm really liking it. It's good. It's good.
Yeah. And, Mike, I know on the Veteran Gamers, that other podcast, you were talking about QuickTime events.
Yeah.
I didn't find the QuickTime events to be,
there's some at the start and some at the end.
Noxious. Yeah. I was fine with them.
Some of the ones in the middle, are really good. They're like the ones where you're falling.
Right.
I'm trying to remember the one I just did. It was the one where you start on a zip line and then you have to jump to another zip line.
Yes.
And that was just epic.
You're kind of on like a boat, like, and it's falling.
On the gondola thing?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, Chris. And you had to go from zip line to zip line.
You know, and as a physics teacher, I'm doing this and I'm like, this is total bullshit, but it's so awesome.
That is a good moment.
Well, and I don't know where I heard it, but I really kind of, the more I think about the story of Tomb Raider and Lara's adventure and kind of her maturation into a superhero. I mean, she really does evolve into a superhero.
Pretty
quickly. She's got some good lines in the game, you know. She really sounds like someone who is pissed off and just wants to kick some ass and kill some people, which I think is fine. I have no major...
Well, you know, and if you really pay attention to the story, it kind of makes sense. Yeah. Because, I mean, in the beginning, she's, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. She, you know, is unsure of herself. This was kind of her, you know, first time to be heading out on, you know, kind of a big adventure like this, a big find or, you know, archaeology find. And so she's pretty shaken. I think anybody in her situation would be pretty much, you know, like, I'm freaked out. And as you go over time, and they do a good job of explaining this, not only in the story, but in the little campfire journals, in the little documents you pick up, the recordings, the audio recordings, they're all really well done and help just really kind of hone the story. And you get a much better sense for her as a person and how she's evolving. And by the end of it, I mean, she's had some, you know, there's some personal things that happen. I don't want to spoil anything, so I don't want to give anything away. But, you know, there's some justification for her rage towards the bad guys.
Yeah.
And I forgot what their names are. The Solari, I think it is.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
The Nazis.
And so, yeah, she is kind of justified for some of that anger. And, you know, and she also is very confident. So when she, you know, that there's a couple different moments where she's like, I'm going to fucking kill all of you. Bring it on.
Yeah, bring it, Brenda.
And it works.
Yeah, I think it's great. I do think it's brilliant. And the whole progression thing of her, you know, turning into a badass and stuff, it is justified. I think it is a bit of a steep curve where she kills the first person and she gets, like, all emotional about it, which is a good scene. You know, it's a good scene.
Right.
And then around the corner, she does kind of kill, like, about 10 guys. And I would have preferred it if it slowed. If there's a slower progression to her being a mass murderer, just a slight one, but it doesn't to the point where I'm like, oh, this is game breaking, this is totally unrealistic. So
The one that cracked me up is the very first deer that you kill. She's all apologetic about it and kind of shook up. But then later it's like, yeah, kill the animals as many as you can because everyone you kill gives you bonus XP. It's like, oh, okay.
Even the cute little rabbits.
Even the rabbits, yeah.
And I mean, that really is kind of where it's a breaking of the fourth wall, if you will, because the game kind of takes over.
Yeah. Nothing but go out of the rabbits. Because when I was salvaged from the rabbits and I was like, well, would you want to do this? And then I got the salvage stuff. I was like, yes. And I started killing everything. It was great.
I would have really liked for them to have done something better with the hunting part of it. Because I think, well, kind of going back to, there's a couple times where she gets hurt in the game. And I don't know if you noticed at all, Mike or Chris, when she's in the shantytown the first time.
Yeah.
And she's injured.
Yeah.
If you try to jump to a ledge or something,
yeah, it doesn't work.
Can't do it. Yeah, she's like, oh, that hurts too much, and she can't do it. And so it got me thinking, there could have been a really cool mechanic for hunting the animals being like a med kit for her, and you had to take the kills back to, say, like a base camp to heal yourself. Otherwise, she couldn't do some of the acrobatic stuff that she needed to do. Like, she couldn't zip line. She couldn't crawl up the side of a little cliff area type thing. Yeah. And so if she got hurt, they could have made that maybe a little bit more of, part of the story. But
I did think that one bit was really funny where she's injured, and then all you have to do is find some fire and then pull a Rambo fine. And, oh, yeah, good to go now.
Exactly. Football, when, the guy gets his leg injured and the guy comes out with the magic spray and sprays his leg and he's
they never do that. Good. They're just like, no, you didn't get the foul. I was like, all right, well, all of a sudden I feel a lot better.
Anyway, so I think that was everything I wanted to cover on Tomb Raider.
The supernatural stuff, is that worth talking about? Does that bother you?
I haven't gotten far enough into it to really...
You've seen some freaky shit that by now.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of the Tomb Raider model. All of them have been that way.
I'm okay with
the introduction of it.
It doesn't bother me. In fact, I think it's handled very well because all the supernatural stuff is not complicated. It's not exclusive or anything. Because in a game like Halo 4, which is a bit of a weird tangent, but stick with me. Halo 4, right? They use all these words for things, and you're like, I have no idea what they're talking about. This is all gobbledygook for me. But with this, it's just like, freaky weather happens if you try and leave, blah, blah, blah. And I like that. It was just explained in plain English to me. And it really ramps up at the end, like the supernatural stuff, but it's not too bad. Like you say, Chris, it's kind of like one of the tropes of Tomb Raider.
Yeah, that was the thing, is like, if they didn't have that in there, it would be I would have a hard time calling this a Tomb Raider game.
Yeah, fair.
Right?
Sorry, Chris, just to tagline onto that, I know a lot of people were like, oh, there's not enough tomb raiding, there's not enough exploration and puzzle solving. What I came to realize was the main storyline of this game absolutely does not, kind of follow traditional Tomb Raider tropes of puzzles and platforming, but the world, the collectibles, the side quest tombs, there's a lot of platforming and exploration to be done if you're trying to collect stuff.
Yeah. I collected all the GPS, so much fun, all the documents and all the relics, and I didn't get my achievement. I was a bit pissed, but you're right, Greg. If you play the game straight, there's probably not a lot of tomb raiding, and there's not a lot of things that you would call this a Tomb Raider game. I mean, you compare this to an Uncharted, there's very, very little platforming, really.
Well, the platforming all happens outside of the story.
Yeah.
In so many ways. I mean, when you were collecting all those GPSs and all those different artifacts and the hidden tombs, you had to do some kind of crazy platforming once in a while to get to it or figure it out. Yep. And so I thought it was a very subtle way for them to keep some of that stuff in the game, even though it's not part of the main storyline.
I think they could go a little bit more towards the Tomb Raider things, though.
I think they will. I think the next Tomb Raider game we get is going to have a lot more of that in it.
Yeah. Because I enjoyed the little tombs. I liked them. I thought they were fun. When I had one, when it went dong, it does make it very obvious when you close it. There's a tumor, jerk! I thought it was like, I thought it would be like a really like hard thing to find. It's just, nope, there's one here. Do you want to do it? Dude.
Right.
But I enjoyed them. Owning them, I thought that was good.
Yeah. And it was interesting with the artifacts too, because when you listen to her describing them and talking about them, you almost get the sense that she is kind of finding this excitement for finding this stuff.
Yeah.
Lack of a better way to put it.
She's getting the bug.
Yeah.
The
last little thing I think we should probably address, and then we'll move on from Tomb Raider. The death animations.
Yes.
A lot of people made a big deal about this.
Yeah. They are kind of torture pornish.
They're pretty gruesome. I don't know that I would go torture porn. I just think they're pretty gruesome, and maybe what makes them so gruesome is because this game feels pretty well grounded.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, when I see
death
her
animations on Nathan Drake, yeah, you know,
right, and I see her getting impaled on a branch, I think, God, that hurts. You know, I mean, I cringe because I imagine what that would feel like.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Chris, did it bother you at all?
No. The ones that are tied to plot lines, those are the ones that are kind of graphic. So, like, there's one right at the very beginning where if you don't get this quick time event right away, this dude literally strangles you with one hand.
Yes,
and they had that one. That was a bit kind of, woo.
Okay.
There was one where if you didn't do something right away, you got a boulder dropped on you.
Yep.
And if you did it right away, then someone else got a boulder dropped on them. And so I kind of felt bad about that. But at the same time, better you than me. But it doesn't bother me. I think it's part of the game. It's good.
Yeah. All right. Enough said. Tomb Raider. Go out and buy it.
Spoil it, you freaks.
Yeah. Mike, let's talk Sherlock Holmes.
Or buy an AMD graphics card and get it for free.
Buy an AMD graphics card and get it for free, which is kind of not true because you're having to buy the card.
No, dude, doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
actually, I got it for free.
It's like saying PSN Plus gives you free games.
No, see, I got it for free because I bought the graphics card and the graphics card didn't fit in my computer, so I sold the graphics card for what I paid for it and kept the game card.
Okay, but there's the shenanigans you pull, Mr. Matthew. But let's really talk about the most important game right now, which is Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes, the testament of Sherlock Holmes is clearly what everybody wants to be talking about. I have played this game. This is a game. And guess what?
Don't know.
It's not bad.
Is it not... Not bad, like CSI not bad?
Yeah,
or
it's bad, but it's not bad, if you know what I mean. It's bad in the fact that it looks... The graphics aren't too bad, but it's bad. The animations are poor. But there's
bad.
A lot... It's very rich, though. There's a lot there. It's a long game, for a start. It's about, I would say, around about 20 hours. I finished it, by the way.
This is more or less like point and click, right?
It's a point and click adventure game, but you're controlling the protagonist.
Okay.
So it's like Monkey Island, but in 3D, and you control him directly, and you control Sherlock, and you control Dr. Watson
without the decisions.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yeah. You don't have any decisions. So yeah, it's fine. It's a point and click game. It's actually quite charming because it's all British and stuff, because everybody knows that British people are just as stupid as everybody else, but we sound a lot smarter. So.
See, pretentious is what came to my mind, Mike.
That as well. It's a nice little game. I was shocked, and it's a guilty pleasure. It's not. I'm not going to sit here and tell you to buy it, Greg. Really, you know, it's not a Tomb Raider way. It's a must buy. For me, it's just a bit of a guilty pleasure. I enjoy kind of cracking the code of like combining this with this and trying to get that to work with that.
Okay.
And there's all the puzzles were different. All the environments that you go into are different. And there's some genuine plot twists in there that I did not see coming at all. I was like, wow. So I was getting into it, and it's yeah, you really don't know where it's going. And it's fun. I liked it.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. I didn't expect it. It's the animation's so bad though. The animation is so bad. Yeah, you know, this fat woman walks up to her. I think she's a prostitute. She's, "All right, Sherlock." And she just does the same gesture over again. "Ah, what are you doing here then?" Oh, it's just bad. But, yeah, problem not, fine.
Okay.
Omnia 2 demo played.
And? Is it better than, Army of 2? 1?
It's not saying a lot, is it?
No.
Really. It's.
Is this the third or the second Army of 2?
It's the third. The second was called The Fortieth Day. And it's basically Shanghai. And it had decision making as well, the second one. I've played both Army of 2 games. I played them with Marsh, my co-op buddy. And we liked them because we like playing co-op games.
Right.
That's it. That is it. Okay. Like, it's a third-person shooter game. You could guess how this game plays out. It's a third-person shooter game. It's co-op. Guess what? You have to jump over walls and help each other, lift each other up. There's all sorts of bullshit upgrades to your fucking guns no one cares about. And there's lots of, get the bad guy and all this. And I'm trying to think what the hook is on this. And there's no hook. There's no element.
The hook is shooting.
There's usually, like, some kind of, like, theme or hook or feature that they brag about in these types of games like this.
Well, isn't this one, aren't they going back to the you can have all the different masks and outfit yourself?
Yeah, but crazy. It doesn't seem very prevalent in the demo, you know.
Got it.
So it's a third person co-op shooting thing.
Alright. Yeah. I might have to do a little video of this. You've got me intrigued now.
It's not very exciting, to be honest.
No. I like showing the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Hence why I have the Walking Dead AMC game coming to me this week.
Well, I've got, guess what game I've got coming to me this week? Sniper Ghost Warrior 2.
Heard some good things.
Have you really?
I've heard some people say it's actually not a bad game.
But yeah.
So, yeah. You might just have something fun to play.
You never know.
Alright, let's talk about something that might be fun, might not be fun. Mr. Primrose, wake up. Let's talk about your year walk.
God, that timing was immaculate.
Year walk?
I've been playing year walk.
All right. I thought it was like some sort of charity trans Pennine adventure.
Yeah, I honestly, that was my first thought as well. I was like, oh, he's been doing some sort of charity. Well,
no, if that was me, it'd be year sit down. You know, like Peter Kay did for Comic Relief, where he just went rolling around on the sofa. That'd
funny,
be
topical.
Me.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've been playing Year Walk on the iPad. Anybody heard of this?
No.
I have heard of it.
Okay. Right, so it's a £2 game. So quite premium as far as the old iOS device games go.
And it is only on iOS. This is why I've only heard of this game and not played it, because it's, you know, not on Android.
Yeah.
Is that working out for you?
So,
it's not well. Shut up, Mike.
So, getting into it.
Yes.
It's based on Swedish folklore. So,
Swedish mafia.
I thought you were going to say Swedish fish.
Yeah.
If you said Swedish fish, I was all over this game. I was going to have to buy an iPhone for it.
Okay. Yes.
All right. We got our jokes out of the way.
Sorry, Rich. Go on.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, so, right, okay.
Well,
so,
no one said anything about the Swedish bikini team. What?
Ah, sorry. The Swedish bikini team.
You just go and clean yourself up, Greg. What's up? Right, so, yeah, you've got basically Swedish folklore. So it's based on this idea that there's an idea in Sweden whereby if you fast for a period of time and then take a journey towards your local cemetery / church after fasting.
Wait, I've heard of this.
Yeah.
Who else played this?
A lot of the major outlets have talked about it.
Okay. Was Stu on about this one, Mike?
It's possible.
Not yet. like he ever listened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Duke are usually chatting on Skype while Duke's, sorry, while Stu's talking about stuff. Is this on? Hello? Yeah.
Earwalk, Rich.
Yeah, Earwalk.
Yeah, so
we're not going to let you talk about it. What are you talking about?
I'll give you the shizzle. Anyway, so you take this journey, and after you've done this fasting and enclosed yourself in a darkened room for a certain period of time, then if you make this journey, you will encounter various demons upon your travels. And if you reach your destination, then there is a chance that you will be able to see the future. And that's the whole basis of the game. Very interesting concept. So it's wrapped itself around. It's a puzzle game. And the way that they've built it is that if you think of UK guys, you'll know this. Remember the Judderman adverts with the, like, looks like cardboard type thing with layers and stuff like that. Well, that's how it looks. Visually, it is stunning. I could see that. If Stu has played this, he'll be jizzing over it because it looks really, really nice.
Have you seen the graphics?
Exactly. And more interesting for me as well is the audio design on it is awesome. It is really, really impressive, awesome. For an iOS game, it sounds really good. So picture that cardboard-type scenario and then put Blair Witch on it, and I was totally not expecting that. It's got jump scares in it, and it's got, a lot, you know, them. But for me, it's a puzzle game as well. So I bought the game, and I was really impressed by it. But what I was finding to be a bit of a problem was, if you're getting puzzles, because you get to explore the world straight away, and then story unveils itself to you, and then you're expected to go out and you will find certain things that you know to be puzzles. And it's got really nice interactive ways of using the touchscreen. But for me, there's not enough clues floating around for these puzzles that are there for you to achieve. Solve. So I have to admit I did a cheat and looked at a walkthrough to get myself started. But once I did get myself started on that, I'm finding it to be a brilliant game. It is really good, and the way that it implements the use of the touchscreen is brilliant. And they've done a really good thing, because I've spoke about it before. I've got a really big bugbear about touchscreen games, in that I don't like them impeding on your play area and stuff, unless they have to. Obviously, if you're solving a puzzle and it involves touching the screen and doing stuff, that's all well and good. But you know, when you're navigating around the world, what they've done is they've made this game look like a letterbox type film. So you've got the dead area of black screen, and it looks really effective as well. And that's how you navigate between the layers and stuff, because you're pulling and pushing backwards and forwards to get through these layers and to move around the world. But yeah, so far so good. I mean, like, I've probably put about 2 hours into it, and I'm finding it to be really, really, it totally immerses you. It's not something you can pick up and have people around you whilst you're playing it. You've got to immerse yourself into it, and it's worth just trying. Or if you, it's not a big investment, but if you want to just take
it's £2. It's £2.
Yeah,
come on.
If you want to just have a look on YouTube, it's well worth trying, because the way they've done the sound design and the visuals on it is really impressive. And
you're surprisingly enjoying it.
Yes, and having seen these guys from The Room on the iOS pick up one, well, I don't know if they did actually pick one up at the BAFTAs last week, and I've seen that game. This one is definitely on par with that.
Rich,
so it's worth it.
You know, you won the quiz last week. You didn't need to punish yourself this week.
No.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Rich.
Okay, that's fine.
I love it.
That's fine. You can give me more hard time when we're playing the...
No, I just am pissed off because it's not on Android.
Yeah, that's all right.
What's the name of this game again?
Year Walk. And there's also as well, if you search it, when you get the actual game, make sure, because it will come up in the searches, there's a companion app for it. And that's brilliant, because what it does is it's got like the whole folklore laid out for you. So it will tell you what the game's about and, you know, how the whole thing was created. It does give you a brief introduction to it, but you can delve into it.
£2.49.
Oh,
it went up.
What the hell? Mate, you're not meeting my expectancies. My expectancy levels are all off the charts now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You said £2, now I'm going to pay 49p more.
Deal with it. Come on, Mike. You make the money. You're doing okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to be a bit of an audio Nazi, and I would say put your headphones in while you're playing it. Because it fucking sounds great. It really is good.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else, Rich?
No, that's me. I'll just wrap it up on that because a lot of people here. Come on, moving on.
Sorry, my bad. We're now going to turn this into the PC podcast. Mr. Webster, I want to talk about Skyrim modding. I want to talk about the excellence that is Rich Webster's new modded world.
All right.
Yeah. And possibly that I know, you know, you're wanting to probably let Duke know that you finished this, but I bet Mr. Christopher Matthew would like to know about this too.
Yeah, I would. I need to install this one.
Well, I've already I just jumped back onto Steam now just to let Duke know that it's all done. Well, it's not done. It probably won't ever be done, to be honest.
But what's the premise of the mod? Let's hear it.
Basically,
pitch it to me.
In Skyrim, you have guilds. They were more known more as guilds in Oblivion and Morrowind, but you've got like the Companions and the Dark Brotherhood and Thieves Guild.
Right.
And I've created a hunting guild. And
okay.
Cool.
Are they new called guild. Are they called the Hunting Guild, or are they called the Websterites?
They're called the Hunters of Skyrim / Websterites.
You like the Websterites.
They're called Hunters of Skyrim, and the premise is it's not a case of it's just there and you go and it's there. When you first go in, it's kind of just getting started. There's only one other guy, and then over time. The building gets larger, expands more. There's new outposts coming up all over the place, and you got to do quests like kill this animal or bring me this many pelts, and all that sort.
So it's almost like Far Cry 3 in some respects.
Yeah, and I've changed how you I've changed how you get your pelts and stuff in Skyrim. The way you do it is you just like activate the dead animal and you just take its pelt. What I've done is you actually take the animal and you take it back with you to camp or something, and then you use a skinning tool there to skin it, and then you get the stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. That is actually optional as well, so you can have it the other way, the original way, or you can have it my way. If you have it my way, I've introduced a new skill, your skinning skill, and as that goes up, you get better at it, and I've introduced stat tracking. So you get a little book, and you can read it, and it tells you exactly how many wolves you've killed or deers you've skinned and all that sort of stuff. It's taken best part of like 8 months to make so far.
Wow.
Let's talk rewards then. What do you get for doing this?
Skin and skill, dude. Did you not just pay attention?
No, I'm talking, have we got any weapons that you get given and stuff like that?
At the moment, there's new perks that make you stronger and more give you higher defense against animals and dragons and stuff. You get a spell. You know how in Far Cry 3 where you kill an animal and it glows?
Yeah.
Right.
You get in this, in your hunting skill gets high enough, you get a spell that when you kill an animal, it glows for a bit.
Ooh. Nice.
Because sometimes, especially in long grass in the nighttime, you kill something, you can't find it. So I thought I'd throw that in there.
I think you need to create a skinning knife, like a super like upgraded +5 skinning knife.
I have. Well, I've used a mod as resource, because what you find a lot of is people make resources that then modders can use, so they'll make new swords and new weapons and stuff, and then let you use them as long as you give them a credit and stuff. So yeah, I used Insanity's Super Razor Blade Extreme Hunter's Knife XXX lols in my mod. Thank you. And just put a link to it.
Rich, I gotta tell you something. I am in awe, by the way, that you've pulled this off, you've done this. I mean, to me, creating a mod seems, I know some people are like, oh, it's easy, but no, that is like a full-time job.
Nah, bro, I tried to just go in and change the armor rating of a suit of armor I was using, and I got confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've added loads of radiant quests as well, so like, it'll randomly pick out people in the world, like, it'll pick an alchemist for you to go and do a quest for, rather than it be predetermined.
Cool.
Say you've got to get 10 wolf pelts, that'll be random every time, so one guy will do that quest, and then another guy will do it, and it'll ask him to get 5 bear pelts, or something like that, so...
And go to a different person.
I need to play Skyrim.
I mean, it's basically kind of had to learn, like, programming to be able to do it, to do all the scripting and stuff. Taken a long time, but now I can kind of do a bit of programming and do all this sort
of stuff. All right, so, question. So, if somebody wants to find your mod, how do they find it? Let's pimp your mod right now.
Google Hunting in Skyrim, and you'll find it.
Okay.
Number one,
Hunting in Skyrim.
Yeah.
Booyah!
Or you could search on the Skyrim Nexus, or the Steam Workshop, or the Elder Scrolls Alliance, wherever you like to download your mod. I've got it on those three formats, and you can download it.
Okay, and then your Steam ID is at Big Bad Daddy as well?
Yeah, Big Bad Daddy with a 1. If you go onto the workshop, and you can, right. Or you can add me and then look on my workshop, on my profile and stuff, and see all my mods on there. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
Pretty sick.
That's it.
Right.
Also, I've got a donate button on me mod. I'm not asking people to donate. I'm just saying it's there because it's sort of set up on the Nexus that way. And someone actually did send me $20.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Just some random guy. About four.
That's your first review.
Yeah.
That's your first review.
$20. And also, a few months ago, PC Gamer ran an article on their website, the top 25 Skyrim mods, and mine's in there.
No way.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, so that was quite cool.
Big Bad Daddy making a name for himself. I love it.
Bacon.
There we go.
Making some bacon as well. There you go.
There's a couple of guys making mods, large scale mods, where like it's a whole new world, and then these people are like making it to try and get a job.
You need to get a job.
They openly say, like, this, I'm making this mod, and they've got loads of voice actors and stuff to do it, and it's like, this is kind of like my resume to get a job at Bethesda kind of thing. That's what they say. A couple of people.
Right. Well, you think about it. What was the Battlefield mod makers? They ended up...
They made...
Chaos Studio.
Oh, what was the name of that game? Frontline Fuel of War.
Yep.
And then they moved on to Homefront.
Yep. It was Chaos Studios. That was the studio. It was just a bunch of Battlefield 3 modders.
Yeah, they made... Big Battlefield maps, and that's kind of how people started in...
I shouldn't say Battlefield 3, it was Battlefield 2.
I think it was. And it was like people making like Quake mods and all sorts. That's how they got jobs at Valve and all sorts. So. Yeah, it does happen.
All right. I fully expect to see Rich in the gaming limelight.
Yeah, you never know. You'll be hearing about me in the news making millions of pounds.
Inside
millions. Of all these 12-year-old Skyrim players.
Well, speaking of things that are millions of pounds and kind of making the news or not so much, let's talk some new releases.
Let's go.
All right, so talking new releases on the Wii U and the Wii, there's games.
Yay.
There's games. You've got The Croods, Prehistoric Party.
Shit.
Yeah, this is the movie tie-in game.
I mean, they'll take it at the moment. It's a bit of a wasteland.
But there's actually a couple big beefy titles coming to the Wii U this week. You've got Lego City Undercover.
That's the one.
Comes out today. And Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate coming out this week. I know Mr. Conger is debating back and forth right now. Should I get it? Should I not? Should I get it? Should I not?
He'll get it.
I'll get it. 3DS this week sees the Croods Prehistoric Party, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. Sorry.
That's a big deal. That's for the 3DS, right? Yeah,
3DS.
Yep.
Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate also coming to the 3DS. And Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Gates to Infinity comes to the 3DS this week.
Sure it does.
Moving to the PS Triple, you've got Hyper Dimension Neptunia Victory.
Pre-order. Yep,
let that sink in. Yeah, pre-order. The Walking Dead Survival Instinct also coming to retail shelves. PSN games this week, Dollar Dash and Hogs of War. Moving over to the demo side of it.
Remember
all.
That game?
Yeah, PS1 classic. One that I can actually, yeah,
Rick
I can actually
Miles
say the name.
That was brilliant.
Dollar Dash does have a free demo, by the way, in case you were wondering. DLC this week, Assassin's Creed 3, The Tyranny of King Washington Betrayal. Sorry, that was really bad pronunciation on my part. That's The Tyranny of King Washington, The Betrayal. That's out this week. Battlefield 3 Endgame comes to everybody. PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale Isaac Clarke Skin Pack. PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale Medieval Unfinished Swan Stage comes. And then All-Star Battle Royale also has Zeus, which I'm assuming is from Kratos and God of War.
Gods of Wars.
Makes sense. Moving over to the PS Vita this week, Dead or Alive 5 Plus. We've got PSN Games Carnage Heart EXA and Dead or Alive 5 Plus also available for download. Save about $4 if you download it versus buying it off the retail shelves. And there's a demo for Dead or Alive 5 Plus. Just like saying plus. Moving over to the Xbox 360 this week. Clearly the biggest game this week, The Walking Dead Survival Instinct. There's also that other game, Gears of War Judgment, coming out. And in case those didn't do it for you on the arcade this week, you've got Alien Spidey.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. And then Gianna Sisters Twisted Dreams. Both those games coming to arcade this week. DLC, Assassin's Creed 3, The Tyranny of King Washington, The Betrayal. Gears of War Judgment Season Pass comes out this week as well for $20. And DLC for Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider Caves and Cliffs Multiplayer Map Pack. Wah, wah, wah. Really was hoping for single-player DLC, but it looks like we're just going to get multiplayer maps. Kind of makes me sad.
No, I don't want any DLC for Tomb Raider. You're okay. Yeah.
I would be okay if it was single-player.
Would you though?
You know, like, if they have little side missions, maybe some tombs, some actual tombs to go raiding, I could be on board with that.
No, I wouldn't play it. I can't be bothered. Have you heard about this Mass Effect? I'll talk about this after, but have you heard about this Mass Effect DLC?
Yes.
Yeah,
PC and Mac this week. Alien Spidey comes, those PC Mac users, you can get that off Steam as well.
Screw that.
Assassin's Creed 3, The Tyranny of King Washington, The Betrayal, Cart Life, DLC Quest, Incredipede.
Cart Life.
Yeah, Incredipede. That's how you say that. Monster Loves You, Rich. Monster Loves You.
I've heard good things about Incredipede.
Yeah. Incredipede. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Not Monster Loves You, though.
What's that on? What's that on again?
Steam.
PC, Mac, and Steam.
Oh, yeah. I've heard good things about that.
I believe I already mentioned, but if I didn't, Patterns is coming out this week. Resident Evil 6 comes out this week on PC. Retrograde, also coming to PC. Shattered Haven and Trials Evolution Gold coming out to PC and Steam. Ultratron. And last but not least, the big title for the week, The Walking Dead Survival Instinct. Yeah, you know you won. And that does it for new releases.
Ooh, yeah.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so it's news quiz time, and it's exciting.
It is exciting. It is a very exciting time.
It is an exciting time, indeed. So this week, we have four players for the news quiz.
Holy
shit. Four of you blokes.
Amazing.
It's craziness. And that means we have four people we are playing for. So for this week, Mike, You are playing for Kryptonians.
Sorry.
Chris, you are playing for Knight XXL.
All right, Kev. I got you.
Mr. Primrose, you are playing for...
Sorry, bastards got me.
And Mr. Webster, you are playing
Who've
for...
Who have I got?
You've got iPete.
Have I? Oh, great stuff.
Yeah. So these are all assigned randomly, by the way. No. I know some people I've been throwing out. I'd like to get
person. You gave IP Rich on purpose because he asked for me.
I did not give him on purpose.
I have Twitter evidence to the contrary, Greg.
No, you don't.
I believe you're exactly right. Anyone who asks for Chris gets rich.
That would be Richard Primrose saying that. But it just so happened the random dice roll threw IP onto Rich. Don't get me started.
You can't. Oh no, it was Primrose. Yeah, that's your excuse. Anytime you don't like what's going on Twitter.
He's on a win streak, man. He's on a win streak.
No, I'm just talking about you and the I didn't do it. It was the one armed man defense.
I understand. I'm ignoring you, right? Okay, we're moving.
Can't
on.
Ignore me.
Oh, I can ignore you.
No,
I think.
Trust me.
Probably not.
Can't.
All right. So here's how this is going to go down. Mike, you are up first.
All right.
We're just going down, right down the list. We just went.
Let's do
that's
this.
The order.
Let's do this.
All right. So your first question is a news question. There are 7 news questions this week, which means there are 5 achievement-related questions. Once all news questions are exhausted, or all achievement questions are exhausted, of course, the other people will automatically get those questions.
Yeah.
So here we go. Mike.
Yo.
According to Square Enix,
5.
How many tombs have been rated in their latest PR newsletter?
Not 5.
As 17th, is it A, 2,500,000? Sorry, more than 2,500,000. Hang on half a second. I just want to make sure I'm getting this correct. I know, I'm totally bringing it to a stall. All right. So 2,500,000, more than 3,500,000, or more than 4,500,000. So it's more than 2,500,000. God, I botched this question up. I apologize. Or is it more than 3,500,000? Or more than 4,500,000 by now. Google certainly has helped you out. What is your answer?
Wouldn't all of them be right?
Exactly. I was going to say the lowest one and then just argue that all of them would be right.
Because you'd get every answer by saying A.
Pretty much be true.
Go for it.
Thanks.
No, you've really fucked him up.
Yeah.
Sorry, did you guys. I went to school. Sorry, mate.
Tricky math. So would you...
Yeah. Well, okay, so here's how we're going to do it.
Just rephrase it.
I'm going to rephrase it right now. So, is it there have been 550,000? This is all botched.
Greg.
No.
You need me to help you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Have there been between 2.5 and 3.5 million, between 3.5 and 4.5 million, or more than 4.5 million? Those are your options.
God bless you, Chris. I love you. Everything I said bad about you before,
okay.
It's gone.
Okay. What game is this again? I'm joking. I would say...
So tired.
Between 2.5 and 3.5, the first one.
Big laugh.
You're wrong!
Yay.
Yeah. It was 3,570,956 tombs have been raided.
Sweet.
Thank you, Mr. Primrose.
So is that more or less? I didn't understand the question. Sorry, right?
It's quite all right. It's more and less. How's that?
That's fine.
No, it was actually more than what you would guess.
Yes. I'm just humoring you.
I know. It's easy to tease me right now. I'm flustered. I'm tired. It's craziness.
You're doing well, Greg. Keep it up.
Chris, you're up next. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Hopefully the rest of these questions will be far better than that one.
Hopefully.
This is going to be complicated. Get ready, Chris. Bungie has done what with these 5 words? Glimmer, Fallen, Hive, Cabal, and Vex. Have they A, created an undefined as of yet mobile app for each idea named. I can go through them again if you want, but you get the gist. Have they created 5 unpublished websites in the vein of Halo Waypoint using, for instance, Glimmer Waypoint, Fallen Waypoint, Hive Waypoint? Have they filed trademark applications for 5 ideas named Glimmer, Fallen, Hive, Cabal, Vex?
I think trademarks is the cheapest, so we'll go with trademarks.
You would be correct. They have indeed filed 5 trademarks. And they cover a range of products, including video games, novels, graphic and classic, Halloween costumes, clothing, action figures, television, and movies. So I think Bungie has big plans for this game. Good job, Mr. Matthew.
Sounds exciting.
It does, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You've got control. So that means you get to pick the question for Mr. Primrose. Is it going to be achievement or news?
How about news?
Because clearly my news questions are all kinds of whack right now.
You have awesome news questions. I'm excited about it.
All right, Mr. Primrose. Valve and Capcom have announced a crossover with their games for Resident Evil 6 and Left 4 Dead 2. The crossovers will appear in which versions of the games? A, PC only. B, PC and PS3 only. Or C, PC and Xbox 360 only.
Because of Microsoft's closed fucking stance on fucking everything, I'm ruling that one out. And because Valve... Who's announced it? Capcom or Valve? Who announced it?
Well, it's a
joint announcement.
Yeah, of a crossover.
I'm going to go Steam. PC. No PS3.
You got it right.
Yeah.
Woohoo, Mr. Primrose. Yes, they have announced the crossover will be coming to PC only, and it will basically give you the Mercenaries No Mercy mode, and enemies from Resident Evil 6 will appear in Left 4 Dead 2. And then, of course, in Resident Evil 6, you're going to get enemies, the witch and the mini tank will be in that game. So, kind of crazy.
Kind of not bothered if you're playing fucking Resident Evil.
Could be fun. Mercenaries mode, maybe. PC, it might be better.
I've played it through 4 times. It's not that good a game. Now I'm going to play it through again just so I can see a couple of characters. There you go. Done. Summary.
Welcome to 1995.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mr. Primrose, you got that one right, so you have control. What does Mr. Webster get for his first question?
I'm not sure, because Rich has been over the keyboard and tapping away for the last 2 years doing mods. I'm not going to put the achievements on him, because he might not have been keeping in touch with that. So I'm going to go
playing
for...
some games, though, mate.
Yeah, I know. It's just I don't know if you. I'm thinking from my point of view. I'm trying to be charitable. Look, mate, we've got to stick together, man.
We are the fucking
underdogs here.
We have, I know. I agree.
So I'm going to say, what do you fancy?
I'll have a news one. Go for it. Why not?
Yeah. News. All right. News one for Rich.
Mr. Webster, Project Cars is coming to the Wii U and is said to to run at what resolution and frame rates per second? Is it A, 720p and 30 frame FPS, to keep it simple, B, 1080p and 30 frames per second, or C, 720p and 60 frames per second?
It's definitely not 720 and 30 frames per second. I know that because that isn't worth announcing. Wasn't the whole thing about the Wii U that it was 1080p?
I hope you're not looking for me to answer any of these questions.
No, I was asking Austin. he watched it E3 with me, you see, when it was announced.
Mm.
Do you know what? Just for shits and gigs, let's go 1080p.
I'm sorry you're wrong.
Oh, there we go.
It's actually 720p and 30 frames per second.
No! Jesus, yes, iPhone can do that. I don't even have an iPhone.
Slightly Mad Studios creative director Andy Tudor has gone and told Now Gamer the title will run in 720p, but will look and feel really amazing. He said, "We always prefer to aim for 30 frames per second generally in order to keep gameplay specific features like having more cars on track or better weather effects, etc."
That's okay.
So there you have it. 720p.
There we go.
All right, we're coming back up to Mike, which, Mike, this means you get a news question.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, EA's John Riccitiello announced he is stepping down from his position at EA.
True.
Hot on the heels of the SimCity debacle.
True.
Who will take over as interim CEO while the board searches for his replacement?
Michael Pachter.
Is it COO Peter Moore? That's Chief Operating Officer. Is that Chief Financial Officer Blake Jorgensen or Chairman of the Board Larry Probst?
Probst.
Good job. Yes, it is Larry Probst. Interestingly enough, Larry Probst used to do John Riccitiello's job. Oh. And he stepped down, took over and as chairman of the board, and now he's filling back in for John Riccitiello.
Someone's got to do that stuff.
Someone's got to do that stuff.
Would you take that job if it was there, Greg?
Would I?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Would you do that job?
Yeah, you know what? For the paycheck, hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Well, you got that one right. That means you have control. What say you for Mr. Matthew?
News.
News. Okay.
News.
Mr. Matthew. EA announced SimCity, despite all the issues, had its largest opening in franchise history. How much did it sell in 2 weeks? A, 1.1 million, B, 2.1 million, or C, 3.1 million?
2.1.
I'm sorry, you are incorrect. Yes, it announced SimCity sold 1.1 million copies in just 2 weeks, which was the biggest opening for the franchise.
That's pretty good.
In history.
That's pretty good. That means they got to give good. Away 2.2 million free games yeah. now.
Yeah, you know, it is pretty good for a sim game, or I should say a SimCity building game, not necessarily a sim game.
Yeah, but it is one of the most famous sim games ever.
Also true. Also true. All right. Well, that means, Mr. Primrose, you're going to get the last news question since Mr. Matthew missed that, and then we'll be all achievement questions.
Dang.
Here forward.
Sorry,
Kate. Okay. Rich, Battlefield 4 details have been leaked that include details on the setting of Battlefield 4. Where does the game take place? Is it A, China 2020, B, North Korea 2020, or C, South Korea 2020?
Fuck.
I haven't heard anything about this.
I haven't heard anything about this either. I've got a good guess.
I've got a good guess.
What were the options again?
It is A, China 2020, B, North Korea 2020, or C, South Korea 2020.
I'm gonna home in on the currently circling B-52s and narrow it down to North or South Korea. And judging by the fact that there's lots of nice shiny televisions that all them gamers can relate to in South Korea, I'm gonna go. Yeah, because nobody knows much about North Korea, and they won't have any sort of realization of places in North Korea. So I think the game designers would probably think South Korea. Let's go for that.
And also, that's where Ganon sells from, so who wouldn't want to stop that?
Yeah, right. I'm sorry, you're wrong. Oh. It's set in China during 2020.
Chicken in China, the Chinese chicken. I would not have thought that either.
Yeah, set in 2020, but it's maintaining a modern-day setting featuring China and the U.S. as the main infantry factions. Some other details that were leaked out. According to the details, Battlefield 4 will maintain a steady 60 frame per second at 720p resolution on both next-gen consoles, which should include the PS4 and the new Xbox, whatever it's going to be called. The next generation consoles, including PC, would get 64 players, while the Xbox 360 and PS3 will be sticking to the default 24-player setup. The game's going to...
That's not good, really, is it? Well, just going into a bit of a discussion. If it's next gen, come on. You're fucking there. You've got the same sort of platform that everybody's got on the PC. Why is it going to be 24?
No, he just said that the next gen will get 64. The current gen will get 24.
Oh, sorry. I thought...
Thanks for coming now, Rich.
Yeah.
The game also is going to feature dynamic weather effects such as rain, sandstorms, fog.
I've heard all that bullshit before.
Totally random. And it's also going to be bringing back the renowned and upgraded Destruction 4.0 system that was in Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Oh, everybody loves that.
Yep, yep. And they're also going to be bringing back the Commander.
Oh, yeah.
So, that as the option.
That's right.
Microtransactions will be available, but won't affect the balance of the game.
Yeah, we've heard that before as well.
Yeah, we've heard that too, yes. All right, so this means, Mr. Primrose, you did not get your question. Well, it doesn't really matter because we're going achievements. And that means, Mr. Webster, you're going to get your first achievement question. So your achievement that I need you to answer.
Are you gonna tell me what platform it was from? Or have you only been looking at 360? Because don't forget, I get achievements on Steam as well, mate.
Yes, he won't give you that because I have to do the same
give
thing.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
So your question, Mr. Webster. Apprentice is the name of the achievement.
Okay.
Reach level 5 in any game mode. Apprentice.
Level 5 in any game mode.
I love how you spelt like like it's a spelling bee.
Level 5 in any game mode, apprentice.
Can it tapping.
Yep. Give me an answer.
She.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Far Cry 3. I don't know. I don't even have achievements on that. Just say it. That's how fucking you play.
Yeah. No, Rich, that would be from the game Breeze.
What? Oh, fuck. Windows phone.
Trouble is...
Windows phone achievement.
Oh, that's a low blow, that is.
Curveball.
You're a fucking scapegoat, you are, Rich. I'm sorry, mate. You've took over my position, mate.
Are they on my Xbox Live achievements, though? They will be.
They are. They are. They are. That's why I pulled it.
Shit. Well done, Greg.
All right. That means we're coming back up to Mike.
Hello.
Mike, your achievement... No, Mike. No.
Greg, I have a grievance to file.
Oh.
Yeah.
File your grievance.
Apprentice is also in Skyrim, so technically that's not a valid question.
Oh. It was a valid question.
And you know what? It's also for reaching level 5 in Skyrim.
But is it for reaching level 5 in any game mode?
Well, there's only one game mode, so yes.
Yeah, but either way, he didn't say Skyrim or the right game.
I know. I have to bust Greg's balls. That's my job.
I know. You want to bust my balls. Mike, your achievement, composer, completed mission 7 on any difficulty.
Halo 4?
You would be correct.
Bang.
Halo 4.
I remember all the composer stuff in it. That's why.
Well, and all the Halo achievements are complete the... X mission on X.
Yeah, and that as well, yeah.
Now you get to really complain, Mr. Matthew.
Okay.
Legitimate complaints are going to be coming from you on this.
I'm already mad.
Yeah. All right. Here's your question, Mr. Matthew. On the Xbox 360, have you...
Wait.
Wait.
You're changing the format here. What are we doing?
This is an achievement question for you.
I'm altering the deal. Pretty, I don't alter it any further.
I'm not altering
the
deal.
What happened to that guy?
Yeah, I'm remembering. It's a slightly different achievement type question.
Okay, Lay it on me.
This will be coming to the other gentleman in the near future as well. You it was more immediate because of the small amount of games I had to choose from for recent.
Okay.
So in XCOM Enemy Unknown, there are 55 total possible achievements. Okay. Have you gotten less than 39 achievements, more than 39 achievements, or 39 achievements on the nose?
Greater than, equal to, or less than?
Yes.
Less than.
I believe you are correct. I totally forgot to write it down, but I'm 99% positive. Well. I know, it's going well. You had 38 achievements on this.
Oh, that was close.
I'm verifying it up. Yeah, I'm verifying it right now, but yeah.
Yeah, so, you know what one of those achievements was for?
Don't even
whipping
say it.
Your ass.
God, I hate you. Oh, you know, I cannot wait for our match because when we play, it is. We're going to have to put some, like, there's got to be some kind of bet on top of just the match for pride.
We could bet Microsoft points.
Yeah.
This is when you want that PS4 where you can get people watching your match.
I know. But yes, I was right. 38 achievements. Well done, Mr. Matthew. Well done. All right. That means who is next? I believe it's you, Mr. Primrose.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for your achievement question?
Yeah, lay on me. Dance Central 3. Cool.
All right. Rich. Beatdown. Earn at least 450,000 points in a single round of Keep the Beat.
Oh, God. It's one of the kids' games, isn't it? Fuck it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm calling it. Prediction. I said it. Dance Central 3.
It is Dance Central 3.
Woohoo! Get in!
I almost had you tripped up. I thought for sure. All right. That means, Mr. Webster, you are the last one to get your achievement question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah, just had to take my hand off me cock for a sec. I was just trying to big myself up a bit, get ready for this. Are you going to come at me with this, Greg?
Well, I'm not going to say anything. Here is your achievement. Just getting started, finished.
And he was.
One.
Hmm?
Just getting started.
Yep.
Finish World 1.
World 1.
Oh, I know.
Angry Birds.
Good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
There we go. See, I knew I'd get one right. I've been, you know, tonight I thought I was in fucking Horseville because of hearing nothing but naysayers all night. Finally got one.
All right, so I'm doing some tallies here real quickly. So, Primrose, you got two questions right. Just double checking, making sure I had that added up correctly. Mike, you have one, two. I don't feel like I'm missing. Nope, you had two questions right as well. We might be having a runoff here, gentlemen. Mr. Matthew, yeah, you had two as well. So we've got a three-way tie so far. Do we have a four-way tie with Mr. Webster? I'm sorry, you miss out by one, Rich. But the good news, three-way tie. This is where it gets fun. So, there's a tiebreaker question for the three of you. We'll go in reverse order. So, Primrose, you'll be up first. Chris, you're going to be second to give an answer. And Mike, you're last.
All right.
Closest one gets it.
Are these achievements again?
This is going to be achievement related.
Okay.
All right. There is a game. It is called Crackdown. Okay.
Which I haven't played for about 4 years, yeah?
Out of the four of us, okay, out of the four of us, there are 200 possible achievements to have been had in this game. So, there's 50 achievements in the game. Between the four of us, there would have been a possible 200. One of you has not played this game. Okay. How many total achievements between all four have been earned?
If one's not played the game.
One has not played the game, so keep that in mind.
So it's 150 then. Job done. Is the maximum.
That would be the... Yes, I'll give you that. Yes, 150 would be the maximum out of the four of you.
Why didn't you just fucking say that then?
I'm tired. So out of 150 total possible achievements, how many has been achieved? Richard Primrose, you are first.
And it's whoever gets nearest.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not giving anything away here. I'm going to go 100.
All right, 100. And that would be Chris. I believe you are next.
I'm up. Out of a possible 150... This is a tough one. I'm going to go with 80.
Okay.
Can I revise that?
You can revise it.
I'm going to go 110. 110.
110. Okay. Mike.
It's like playing poker, this. Because you're bluffing. You don't know. Nobody knew what anybody else was doing.
I think it's lower than all the y'alls. I'd say 75.
Good job, Mike. Congratulations. It was actually a total of 73.
Ooh, that was close.
Damn, you clowns need to get achieving.
Now, here's the funnier thing. Mike, I believe you loved Crackdown.
Yeah.
You only had 23 achievements. Out of that
because... Yeah, did he get wiped because of his game? That was what I was thinking.
True. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, then when you said somebody hadn't played it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You taking that into account.
Boom. So, good job, Mike.
Yay.
You win, which means, as I find out who you're playing for again, that means Kryptonians.
Ryan.
Congratulations. Yeah, Ryan winning.
You're welcome, Ryan. You're welcome.
Yeah. And Mike, you have a chance to give him an extra 100.
Oh, shit. I forgot about this bit.
Yep.
Shit, Ryan. I'm sorry.
Are you ready?
No. Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Guess the game, Mike. This is off the ESRB summary. This is a first-person shooter. And by the way, this is a currently released game.
Okay.
Within the last, it's about 3 months time frame is how far I would go back. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right. And it's not some random obscure game. I don't do that to you. It's
right.
Trying to be nice. All right. Get ready for the blanks.
Yep.
This is a first-person shooter in which the player assumes the role of a soldier who battles an evil blank, and must defend Earth from an alien invasion. Players use handguns, machine guns, rocket launchers, and futuristic weapons to kill blank aliens and blank soldiers. Players can also engage in close-up hand-to-hand combat, slicing enemies' throats, breaking their necks. The frenetic combat includes realistic gunfire, screams of pain, and frequent explosions. What game is this?
I feel like you've read this one out before.
They do start to sound a lot alike sometimes.
Can I have a get it again, please? Sorry.
This is a first-person shooter in which players assume the role of a soldier who battles an evil blank and must defend Earth from an alien invasion. Players use handguns, machine guns, rocket launchers, and futuristic weapons to kill blank aliens and blank soldiers. Players can also engage in close-up hand-to-hand combat, slicing enemies' throats, breaking their necks. The frenetic combat includes realistic gunfire, screams of pain, and frequent explosions.
I know exactly what that is. And it's not Viva Pinata. There's a clue.
Start counting down.
I'll say Alien's Colonial Marines, but I know it's not.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you are incorrect. It's Crisis 3.
I never would have got that.
Yeah. So, battles an evil corporation that must defend Earth from an alien invasion. Players use handguns, machine guns, rocket launchers, and future weapons to kill Ceph aliens.
That still wouldn't have given it up.
I tried to be nice. We
could have read the whole thing. I still would have got that.
Yeah. Alright, well, 100 points to Ryan. Hey, it's 100 points. Yep, Can't argue with that. And don't worry for those. We've gotten a lot of requests to get in on the quiz. So, I'm keeping a log of everybody's requesting it. So we will filter in more people. So if you've sent messages to us, don't worry. You know, you still have a shot at getting onto the news quiz. Don't give up hope. And help us promote it. We want more people getting in on it. So anyway, that does it for the news quiz.
Sorry, Kev.
Means we're going to take our break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to go over the question of the week. And we'll talk about next week's question and all the events and happenings and good stuff like that. All right, we are back from the break, and we're talking question of the week. This week we wanted to know, with moving to the next generation and a lot of people talking about free-to-play games and microtransactions, we wanted to know, kind of, are you on board with the free-to-play model, or are you still kind of wanting the full retail game model that we have this generation? So let's sound off. Mr. Matthew, what do you think about free-to-play? Are you for it? Are you?
I am against it.
Okay.
Yeah, I just like I prefer pay up front, get what you got. I'm okay with episodic content. You know, if it's a game that kind of lends itself to that, like I'm even okay with maybe a paid demo. So I pay $5 or $10 to get the first couple missions of a game. And then if I like it, I can get more.
Okay.
I don't like the microtransaction idea because it's just, I can't get past feeling like I'm being leeched.
Yeah. I think, I fall in that same camp. I always, whenever I get a game like that, I'm trying to figure out how they're trying to screw me. And on top of that, I always kind of worry and it can be completely considered unfounded because the quality of the game just somehow feels like it is going to suffer in some way or another. And maybe that's completely wrong and maybe that will be proven wrong with future games. But so far it seems like anything that's free to play has very much a kind of multiplayer focused game modes. And we haven't really seen a great free to play model in single player. And I definitely am a single player fan. I love multiplayer games. Don't get me wrong, but I want single player game experiences to maintain that high level of quality that they've gotten in retail games for the most part. Aliens, Colonial Marines, not to be, you know, included in that. So yeah, I'm with you on that. Mike, what about you?
I fall into the same boat, really. I haven't played... What it comes down to, I haven't played a game that's free-to-play that I couldn't live without, you know, that I couldn't just think, oh man, this is so cool, I'll give you all my money. Because like you say, Greg, like you try and find out how they fleece you.
Right.
And you try and find out how they're trying to get money. And the challenge for me is how long can I go without paying money? It becomes a game in itself. And, you know, the only game that I've played really that's got a free-to-play model is the Simpsons Tapped Out game. And, like, I haven't put a penny into that. And if I deleted that from my iPhone, I wouldn't give a shit, to be honest. I just... Every now and again, when a notification comes up that says I've got to do something in it, I'll just do it because it's on the phone and it, you know, it's just there and I'm just looking at my phone. But like, really, I don't really care about the game that much. So yeah, I'm kind of all for the episodic. I agree with the episodic or the full retail game at the moment. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Mr. Webster, what about you?
Yeah, kind of the same. I mean, I have played free-to-play games and stuff, and some of the ones I've played are alright, like Lord of the Rings Online and stuff. Now, I wouldn't like it as like a regular thing. I prefer to pay me £40 or whatever and be happy with what I've got, to be honest.
Okay, I'm definitely sensing a theme here. Mr. Primrose, sorry, I'm looking at my riches on screen here. What about you?
I'm going to throw a cat amongst the pigeons. I would say that I'm generally against it, but I've recently been looking at a lot of videos that Crytek have been doing with regards to Warface. Anybody heard or watched anything
right
to do with that?
Nope.
Yes, I've seen a little bit.
Now, I can remember me and you, Greg, had quite a lot of fun, although nobody else picked up on it, on Blacklight Tango Dan.
Right.
Yeah, some time ago. This seems to be a similar sort of game to that, but obviously you've got the Crytek engine behind it. And what they've done is they've tried to go out and hone in on this big thing that you've got in Asia, where they like and love free-to-play games. And they've built a model where they've thought about it a lot and said that you're going to get a full gaming experience. And I've seen I watched this for probably about 45 minutes where they was doing detailed talks about how they built it. And they've given you a full experience if you want it. And then you can put the transactions in there. I think you've got a key stage coming up with new consoles where it is a chance for people to break from the molds that we've got now. I know that I feel quite tired of the fact that you've got the same franchises rolling around time and time again. And this is the period where you will get new ideas breaking through. So I think in your arcade scenarios or your PSN networks, if somebody was to come out with something along them lines and to give quite a formidable experience for a first-person shooter and then build in them microtransactions and maps and so on, because what they was talking about was rotating scenery and scenarios, because it was based on co-op and multiplayer, and having that rotating so that you're getting a different experience all the time that you're going on, and all that time it's free, but because you're getting immersed and you're getting that many different experiences each time you're going on, then that would encourage you to go out and do the transactions. Now, if they could hit on a nice formula for that, I think they could have some success for that. So, yeah, in general, no, don't agree with it for what we are seeing at the moment as being the norm for a freemium type game. But in the future, if somebody was to build something that was a bit unique, then I'm not averse to it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's find out what the community had to say. Mr. Matthew, if you'd be so kind, maybe pull up Gate.
Yeah.
Some of the responses we had there.
So we started off with Steve-O-Matic, who pretty good about chiming in every week. Thanks, Steve-O. He says, "Nay, I say, by the bay, eating hay, no way, Jose." I believe this was a celebration of Dr. Seuss's birthday. Actually, comma, "I just got a Warface beta invite, so I may try that one out, lol. But otherwise, I don't like free-to-play. I've played the Firefall beta, and that was decent enough as well, but I don't like games relying on impulse purchasing of sorts. I prefer an upfront transaction, one and done. I also value my money too much, and it never feels like a deal with microtransactions. With game sales, you can find a nice deal or wait for a good price. You just can't do that with free-to-play. Nothing against the games, really, and I don't suspect them of being of inferior quality, but I hate even the vague notion that I'm being milked for money." And who doesn't?
We got a
response from Parsip Nose. "With regards to Mass Effect, EA have been doing exactly that for years. In Need for Speed titles, so he's talking about here, I referenced the little supply packs you could buy in Mass Effect 3 with the little microtransactions.
You can earn the credits or buy them outright, and you get a random drop.
EA have been doing exactly that for years in Need for Speed titles, and they also did it in Godfather 2. You could purchase cars and car upgrades without earning them. In Godfather, they made it even more blatant by inserting microtransaction-enabled characters into the game. There would be a symbol for a character on the map, and when you went to visit him, you'd find out you could only buy from him with Microsoft points.
No.
That irked me and felt deceptive. However, I've been playing free-to-play games on my phone or tablet for a couple of years now. I think the real test is whether the microtransactions feel like value for money. In Parallel Kingdom, I paid about $20 for 6 months of Platinum membership, and I was happy with that. It didn't necessarily give me an advantage in the game, but it gave me more choices of what to do. That gave me more gameplay, and I was happy with that. It felt no different to buying an expansion pack on Xbox Live. I never, ever buy any kind of in-game currency, such as jewels, gems, or whatever, and would never pay to level up a character or speed up a game element. I want to earn that currency, and I want to level up fairly. I want to actually play the game. If a game has a level cap and I know about it in advance, I won't even consider playing it. That said, I'm grateful to all those people who buy those games because it keeps food on the table for the devs and keeps the game in existence for me. But pay to level definitely isn't for me. I've been playing Lords and Knights for about 2 weeks now. It's free to play, and I don't seem to need to buy anything with real money. I've been enjoying upgrading my castle and have joined an alliance named Rome. If anyone wants to join me, I can be found mainly on the UK3 server. I just earned enough silver the hard way to take charge of my second castle. Yay for me." Well done. A lot of iOS games or sounds like mobile device games in there. Shinyverse says, "I find microtransactions to be a nuisance. I want nothing to do with them. If I hit a paywall in a game, I would stop playing. I'm less likely to even try a free-to-play game because I feel like I'm waiting for the scam part to begin. That being said, I've been playing Dust 514 on the PlayStation 3. I have found it to be truly free-to-play. However, I am still slightly skeptical. There has to be a catch somewhere, and honestly, I can't stand that feeling. I'd much rather just pay a fixed price up front, or even a monthly or yearly subscription. And Teflon12 says, I'm with you guys. Free-to-play games also make me feel like there's a scam waiting for me somewhere. I also don't like microtransactions. Call me old-fashioned, but I'd much rather pay up front and play to my heart's content. I don't mind the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer stuff because it didn't feel like it gave anyone an edge over me. That's probably because the multiplayer was cooperative and not really competitive. However, I have started playing DC Universe Online recently, which is free-to-play. I don't have that much game time to put into it yet, but so far I like what I'm playing, and I haven't been pushed to pay any money. I think the MMO market has a good handle on the free-to-play model, just as long as it doesn't turn into pay-to-win. All excellent points.
Yeah, very much so. All right, let's jump over to Lag. We had a few responses there. Sid chimed in saying, buy-to-play is by far the best way, in my opinion. Buy-to-play is when you pay for the game initially, usually $60, then there's no subscription fee.
That's a new model.
Yeah, which is what Mass Effect was. You can spend the real money to make things shorter, but you don't have to at all. I absolutely detest free-to-play games that require a $2 microtransaction to be able to do anything. So far, it seems that buy-to-play is the way to go for those types of games. As long as you can get the same stuff as the people who pay for it, just by working hard and earning it on your own. I have no problem with it. I do not support pay to win, though, which is paying real money to get items that those who do not buy cannot get. And those items are OP. See, the Real Defoe chimed in, said, free-to-play is okay on the iPad/Android, but I would not like the idea of getting nickel and dimed on my console, too. I would find it really annoying, kind of like trying to get past Ensign Deadmeat or Mudda Trucka in the NASCAR game. Ensign Deadmeat jumped in and said, imagine having to pay extra just to get past Mudda and myself in the free-to-play version of the NASCAR the game. I hate free-to-play games. They purposely make each activity in RTS games take forever, so if you want to actually play the game, then you need to spend about $100 buying imaginary crystals or dollars just to keep the game moving. Otherwise, the game is either not worth playing or will take forever for anything to happen. Other games force you to pay for silly shaving cream in order just to continue on in the game. Boo to free-to-play. I would much rather pay a flat fee and be able to just to play the whole dang game. I much prefer spending $3.99 to buy a whole game than to suffer through the long waiting games. I just don't have the patience for them. By the way, did I mention I hate free-to-play games?
No.
Oh, maybe I did. P.S. Today, Amazon free app of the day actually cost $3.99 and is a very hard puzzle game. They get you coming and going. Oof. The company has the audacity to actually charge you for the game itself and charge you to buy hints to figure out their impossible game. Sucks, sucks, sucks. I hate this new charge to shaving cream game strategy. Speed limits chimed in. I wholeheartedly agree with the above statement. And lastly, we had JWolf312 saying, I agree with Ed and Defoe. I'd rather pay a flat fee up front than get nickel and dimed. It annoys me on my iPhone. It would really annoy me on my consoles. It's one thing to have to pay for DLC like map packs. It's another thing to have to pay to unlock items, characters, equipment that are integral to the game. And they will make unlocking these without payment as painful as possible to coerce people into buying them. Just charge me $65 up front and be done with it. So definitely feeling a theme on this.
There's a bit of a theme here. Yeah.
Yes. All right, let's shake over to Twitters. Rich, I believe we had some tweets.
Yes, we did. Just had a quick one from Nick Nitrous, saying that he just listened to last week's show and he really thought he was screwed. Thanks to me, because I won it. Yeah. Then we have Mark Annex, said, high scoring news quiz this week. Hey guys, thanks for trying, though, Mr. Webster. Yes. Yeah, we got a lot of stick, and that wasn't.
It wasn't a very good day, really.
And then Chris MJW, he threw an actual response back. He says, I really hope not. It's old school, but I still just want to buy a game. I want no messing with extra hats, extra costs, and shit. Yeah, so that was Chris's response. SLH, she put, not in my future console gaming, it doesn't. I'd rather pay up front, otherwise I feel like I'm being manipulated to spend money. Then Hell Patrol put at SLH, I second that emotion, nearly queue for a song. So there you go, get some 80s R&B out there. Gamox, 14, that's Graham, he put, gone off Giant Bomb lately, listening to OC podcast instead. Well done, that man.
I thought you'd appreciate that last one there, Rich.
Yes, I like that.
All right, we're going to switch over to some emails. First up is Daniel Knapman. Mr. Webster, if you'd be so kind.
Yeah, sure. Mr. Hardly Dan from the Gamesman. And,
Yep.
He's emailed in. He said, hey guys, as long as the micropayments don't unlock something that completely will unbalance multiplayer or unlock some item that is critical to completing the single player, I have absolutely no problem. When used as a system just to speed things up for people who don't have the time / patience, I think that's spelled like a patient in a hospital. Come on, Dan. These payments are fine in my book. If people have the cash to waste and want to shorten the time they spend actually playing the game they have just bought, then why shouldn't the publishers squeeze as much money as possible from them? I don't even have a problem with the way, with the pay-to-win model, as long as it is made clear from the outset that you will need to hand over some cash to actually get the most out of it. Having said that, I do have a problem with APB, which when I bought it was great, then Real Time Worlds went bust and APB resurfaced as a play.
I'm thinking that's pay to win.
Pay to win, yeah. That was fucking annoying. Catch you later, guys. Dan, Hardly Dan, Knapman.
So that's kind of interesting. He's like, I don't really have a problem with pay to win as long as it's up front, but I guess with APB, he kind of had a bit of a switcheroo happen. Since he had bought the game, and then when it re-emerged, it was pay to win.
Mm.
Which I'm guessing they didn't make as clear. Maybe that was why it was so annoying. I don't know. All right, let's go up to the next email. Mike, this actually has nothing to do with our question, but it was a kind of a funny little email Parsnip sent specifically for you.
Just for me?
Just for you.
Right, okie dokie. I've got it here. Parsnip knows. I was thinking recently about Chinny, weird, and his dislike for networking meetings, especially when people use the word synergy. In part, I agree with him, but what he needs to remember is that it's always valuable to... he's doing one of these bullshit generators. Bastard.
Here, I gotcha. I'm just going to take over here, Mike.
Yep.
This is so you can feel this. So you need to remember, it's always valuable to competently innovate progressive portals on the way to quickly administrate magnetic bandwidth. In order to succeed, one must distinctively scale magnetic results so that we can intrinsically integrate intuitive resources. It almost sounds appropriate to distinctively revolutionize alternative value in order to conveniently iterate resource-sucking functionalities.
Yep. And then he finishes off, I hope this clears it up for him. Kind regards. Yeah, it's a bullshit generator, which we have hung up on our notice board just in case we want to just spin some bullshit. Synergy, people.
Yeah.
God, these corporates.
Yeah, Parsnip, that was evil. That was evil. We already know Mike doesn't necessarily like reading out loud. To make him read that was just...
As soon as someone says synergy in like a networking environment, I just go, oh boy, see you later, I'm off.
Yeah, yeah.
Video, you do video. Shut up.
You love it, Mike.
No, I don't.
The integrating synergies, yeah.
I really don't.
All right, let's talk about next week's question. Next week's question is all about helping out Christopher Matthew.
All right.
Poor Christopher Matthew, his mouse
sucks. I've got some first world problems.
Is that really the...
this is really the question. Christopher Matthew, his mouse, horrible. He needs a new mouse. But here's a question. You, the listener,
you gotta do a shop.
Probably have a PC. We all have PCs somewhere in the house. Maybe it's a Mac. Maybe it's a PC. Who knows? But do you use the gaming mouse, the mouse that came with the system? Did you upgrade to a better mouse? And if you did, what would you recommend for that upgrade?
We're talking about mouses. Mice.
Yeah, mouses.
I can't wait till you pass this around the room next week.
Yeah. Are you a standard mouse person or do you upgrade your mouse? Do you go high end? What kind of mouse person are you? And if you do have a mouse you want to recommend. I know. Well, you know what? Sometimes we have to have weird questions. It's just a fun question. Do you like the standard mouse? Do you upgrade your mouse? And if you do upgrade your mouse, what mouse do you upgrade to? Because Christopher Matthew needs some help with his mice.
Perhaps do you prefer, the mouse with lots of buttons on the side? Do you prefer the trackball? Right. Things like that.
It's a horrible question, but we want you to answer it anyway.
It is a horrible question, but...
Trackballs, still do them.
Yeah, where you actually move the mouse ball with your fingers, That sounds...
Right, a little thumb
that sounds,
ball. Yeah, we're not talking mouse balls. No. We're talking mouse ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a wheel.
All right. It's time for a jingle.
Yes, it is.
Jingle, 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 jingle.
Time. Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
Community events.
Done. We're done jingling. All right. Here's what's going on in the community. By now, you can probably tell me what's going on in the community, but nevertheless, I will remind you. Mondays, Halo, 8 p.m. in Britain. Fridays, also Halo, 8 p.m. in Britain. And there's going to be a Friday night Forza 4 revival that Carnage is trying to put together starting...
Don't know when.
Yeah, he hasn't quite sorted out...
Check the forums.
He hasn't quite sorted out a start time yet. He's trying to figure out a good time. So check the forums. Carnage has a thread going for some Friday night Forza paint trading if you wish to trade paint. F1 Racing Championship, 6 p.m. GMT on Sunday. The Veteran Gamers will be playing Left 4 Dead 2 on the Xbox 360 on Sunday. Also at 6 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And if you like your NASCAR, NASCAR Inside Line, Friday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, with the fellas over at Lousy at Gaming, contact the real Defoe. Some ongoing events, F1 and Forza 4 Hot Lap Challenges. Check out the forums for that. 24/7 Minecraft server is up. Join the community. Send a friend request to G4TE/Minecraft. And you can go into the whole new world that they're creating. Mondays and Tuesdays are survival mode. Otherwise, it's set to peaceful. Get in there and dig and build and dig and build. We have the ongoing Halo 4 tournament. How's that going, Greg? You went in yet?
I actually have a match in about 20 minutes.
All right.
Find out.
Good luck.
Find out.
Good luck.
Thanks. Yeah.
We have the XCOM tournament going on. Some good reporting coming in the threads. Take a look at the thread, even if you're not in the tournament.
It is awesome. Awesome.
Some of the reports have been pretty funny. Let's see.
Hey, how about that video, huh?
Oh, I should pimp the video.
Rich?
Yeah.
Don't talk about that video.
Rich doesn't want us to talk about the video.
Nothing to see here. Move on.
What video? I don't know what you're talking about.
Go into the forums, check it out. There's a video I posted up of Rich's match with me.
Happy birthday this week to Raging PDM, Gibbon Fiddler, and White Drongo. Gibbon Fiddler, that's just wrong. And White Drongo. No new members this week. So if you're listening to the show and you're not a member of the forum yet, head on over there, check it out, sign up. Doesn't cost anything. Congratulations this week to Teflon. Is it Teflon 12 or Teflon 212?
Teflon 212.
Okay, his forum name is just 12. Anyway, congratulations for finishing Mark of the Ninja. Congratulations to Bongo the Sane for finishing Aliens Colonial Marines. Mowage is what brings us together. Anyway, Hania Aliens Colonial Marines. Marcanix finished Odyssey, Enslaved, Odyssey to the West, Bastion, and Assassin's Creed 3. Congratulations. And what am I talking about, achieving victories? Well, if you've just tuned in and you haven't heard yet, we have a contest running on the site. If you finish the game and you take a picture of the screen and your face with some evidence on the screen proving that you finished the game and tweet that to @g4te.com, spell the dot, and make sure to follow @g4te.com, spell the dot, on Twitter, you'll be entered into a contest to win 1600 Billy Bucks, excuse me. And you've got until the end of April to get your entries in for the next drawing. We're doing one drawing every 3 months, so even if you miss the end of April, you can still get in there. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the spotlight, which, Mike, this is your cue.
Hello, people. This is Parsnip Nose with another weekly community spotlight. This week, I would like to mention Metric Pizza for his excellent and very well-received XCOM tournament. It's wonderful to see so many people having a lot of fun playing that. And so thank you. Thank you very much, Metric Pizza. That's it from me. Very short one this week. Back over to you guys in the studio.
Metric Pizza has been awesome with the XCOM tournament. So, he got it going. And I, for one, very thankful.
Me too.
He's from Australia.
I should be thankful, but I'm not because I'm losing a lot.
No, it's not. You're learning. You're learning.
Yes, learn from the mistakes. Just like I will have learned from my practice sessions, Mr. Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. See, I only showed you two of my cunning plans, though, so.
There's more.
Are you going to be ready for the next one?
No, not at all, but I'll make do. All right. Let's see here. Indie Writers Block, still people posting up stuff. So if you want to be seen with some of your writings, it doesn't have to be game related. It could be about things you just like cooking.
Could be Mr. about Matthew. Food. Yeah.
Could be about food.
I put one up this week. I forgot what it was about, though. It was delicious, whatever it was.
Pork pizza?
Was it the pulled pork pizza? I thought that was 2 weeks ago.
But contact...
this week was pulled pork chili.
But contact IWP...
pork sandwiches as well.
That was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull some pork in a second. IWP@g4te.com. Just email Jay Schumacher. He's the guy running it. And he'll get you set up to post up your own pulled pork pizza recipes. iTunes reviews. We haven't checked it in a while. I promise we will check it next week. So that means... put up some reviews, especially, hey, if you're one of these people that has won some fabulous Microsoft Billy Bucks, I expect some iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if we can say that.
Probably not. That'd be like paying to win. emailing the show. If you want to send us an email and tell frustration about how we do the show, how we aren't prepared, how we're just, I don't know. Or you can shower us with praise. Yeah. OCpodcast@gmail.com. That's where you'd send that email to. You can also tweet us, and you have to kind of guess who's responding to you when you do tweet us @OC_podcast. It could be Rich, it could be me. Sometimes I think it bounces back and forth between us. I think that pretty much brings us to the closing comments. One last thing, if you want to be part of the news quiz, don't forget just send off a tweet to, of course, at @OC_podcast. And in the tweet, you have to put in either the hashtag symbol or the pound symbol, depending on where you're at in the world. And then OC podcast play Misty for me. Whole word, all one big one giant word. And that will get you into our list for potential participants to win potentially 200 Microsoft Billy Bucks. All right. Mr. Webster, why don't you start us off with shout-outs?
Okay. Sponge Cake, shout-out Matt Damon, because I've just been thinking about him. Shout-out Mark Annex, because I'm sorry that I lost for you last week on the show. Shout-out for you guys, because you've had me back on again. And shout-out for Duke, because he's a crazy bastard. Primrose, go!
Yeah, I'm going to shout out Gamox14, Graham, for his statement about going off Giant Bomb for us. Nice one. And also, I would like to shout out Gon Lee for putting up with so much shit off Greg this week on Twitter. I'm gonna shout out Ken Levine, because tonight I watched, I've still got to watch a lot of it, but the BAFTA did a really good thing that's worth watching on YouTube. It's a Q&A with Ken Levine. And he's not talking about... He's not doing the old promotion... Well, he is. He's doing a bit of the promotional thing to do with Bioshock Infinite. But he's talking about game development and AI and how you develop it. And it's a really interesting, in-depth look at what they have to think about when they're doing... all of that stuff in game development. And he had some pretty cool videos as well, just showing you through the process of how the actors have to go through doing so many different scenarios. And he was talking about, because what they like to do is take the focus off FMV sequences, quick time events and stuff, and have it all in the game engine, how that affected their design. So if you look at the key character that's your partner in Bioshock Infinite, it's the Lady Elizabeth, and they deliberately made her have big eyes so that whilst you're playing the game, if you was looking at her in the distance, she could still carry on doing all of the acting that they'd put into it and the voiceover, but you could see the emotion in her face because they're not guaranteed of where the actual player is when they're doing it. And it had like real cool insights into stuff like that. So it's about an over an hour and a half. But it's well worth watching if you're into games and stuff. And it's got some really interesting insights into how you make games and stuff. And finally, hopefully Greg may have put in a track in the show break this week, which I think I've emailed to him. And yes. I think I was going on about this, and Rich was drawing reference to trancy shit last week. But Sasha has brought out his third album in the Involver set of albums, and it is absolutely sublime. And I drew direct comparisons to gaming soundtracks from just listening to the opening track of that. So I've put an excerpt of that track in the game break for the break show break for this week. So hopefully you enjoy it. If not, give me some shit over Twitter and it'll never happen again.
DJ Primrose.
Yeah.
Pass it along, Rich. Pass it along.
Martin.
I'm just going to shout out Burst Salem. I don't know why. He's, I don't know. For no reason. Shout out Ryan. You know, I won 100 points for him, so why not? And that's it. I only have a short one. And I was thinking, wow, Primrose's shout out is long. So I'll shout out long shout outs. So it's good. Matthew, go.
Okay. I'm going to shout out Big Bad Daddy for being here and for putting in all those hours to make Skyrim mods. All of the Skyrim modding community, because I don't have time nor talent to do that, but I do love all of the content that's out there. So thanks everyone. And I'm going to shout out the lousy at podcasting crew, because they really are lousy at podcasting. No, I want to shout them out because for the love of God, people, don't support the developers trying to take money off of new game sales. They were on this week talking about, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago, talking about how they thought that they should, instead of banning used games, they should allow used games and just give the publishers a cut. And I was just like, whoa, easy, you know, with all these online passes and stuff. Which was actually, I suppose, interesting. Every other podcast has been reeling against the online pass. But anyway, whatever. It was an enjoyable show. That particular part just caught me off guard. I think who's I leave? I think it's just you, right, Greg?
That's just me.
It's just you.
Just me.
Just you, Sunshine.
Just me, Sunshine. Thank you. A shout out to all you guys. Mr. Webster, especially you, for jumping back into the show again for 2 weeks in a row.
Look, you're back.
It's been fun. Well, and Mike, you're back. Chris, you're back. And Rich, you've been here the whole time. It's been, you know, the band's back together.
Ta-da.
For now. I want to shout out Matt Claremont. He left a message on our site, theoverseasconnection.net, on one of our podcasts. And he basically, in a nutshell, said he loves the podcast. He's not exactly sure why, because he's a big PS3, PlayStation fan, and he gets a little frustrated that we're pretty Xbox-centric in a lot of our discussions.
Oh, it's better.
But
I'm joking.
Yeah, I was just going to say, but he feels we're pretty even-handed. So
I love my PS3.
He thinks that's why he's able to listen to us.
I love it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think we really do try and stay as even-handed as possible. It just boils down to, I know for me, with my setup, especially for game capture, I only am able to set up on the Xbox 360 currently. So kind of makes it difficult for me to set up any other way.
I've said this before, but if I had a PS3, there were so many games that I would just love to watch. And I've actually been thinking, because I've heard things about, you know, after the PS4 announcement, the prices dropped really big time on used consoles for PS3. I'm seriously thinking, when it comes to end of the generation, about picking up one. Because I know that I'm not going to jump in next gen straight away. And there's so many good things that I want to play that I've not ever had a chance to on the old Xbox. So, yeah. Right. Uncharted. Give me some of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we certainly want to try and be as even-handed all games. Yeah.
Demon Souls.
There's lots of good games across the board.
No, Rich.
Even the Wii U has some good games. But, Matt, we really appreciate you listening to the show, so that's why I wanted to throw that out there. We will always try to be even-handed as much as possible, and hopefully down the road we can give even more PS3 coverage, that kind of thing.
I'll be honest, though. The only reason I'm keeping my PS3 at the moment, I don't really mind the PS3, but the updates and stuff bother me, but that's only because I don't switch it on very often. The only reason I'm keeping it is The Last of Us.
Yes.
That
yeah.
is the only
we'll
reason.
We'll definitely be talking about that game,
that
for
is
sure.
The only reason that console is still mine. I am hoping that I get God of War, though, because I'm a big God of War fan. So I like the games. I like the games. The systems, the interface is a bit stupid, and the updates are a bit crap, but...
Don't listen to this part, Matt. Don't listen to this part.
The games are fine. Sony support good first-party games.
I actually prefer the PlayStation dashboard to the Microsoft dashboard after a little bit of actually using it, but that's just me.
We're all coming around. It's all changing, Matt. Hang in there. I also want to shout out Mark Davies, because Mark, who doesn't like listening to our podcast while carving up meat? I also want to shout out the Boss Wave podcast. Nice rookie move, gentlemen.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It happens to everybody. Except for us.
Famous last words, Greg. Famous last words.
I also want to shout out Michael Pachter, because dude needs some love. That guy gets more hate from gamers, but I actually like a lot of
him. I quite like
opinions.
Him. I think he's funny.
I know. I think he's funny
as
heck. I
don't care what you say. I'll just do outrageous predictions.
He trolls gamers hard.
Yes.
And last but not least, a shout-out to Garnet Lee. Yeah, I actually want to shout him out for responding to my response, because I told him, basically, I'm a big fan of the show, but I completely disagreed with his thoughts on Tomb Raider.
I was listening to that thinking, what are you talking about?
It was frustrating, but I also sent him off another tweet saying, hey, you know what? I think it's time we bury the term murder simulator. This industry has enough problems with people looking to blame video games for all the violence in the world. It is not getting helped by any stretch by having professional podcasters and game critics talking about video games and using the term murder simulator in their description of what's going on. It is by no stretch of the imagination in any way possible a murder simulator. Tomb Raider is just a fictional game about a woman on an island trying to survive and defend herself and save her friends.
Bros before hoes.
Bros before hoes.
Bros before foes.
Yeah.
That's it. We're done.
All right.
That's a podcast. We're done.
I have no idea what just happened. Are we done?
In God of War, there's an achievement or trophy in God of War that offended people because you battered this woman to death and put her on a spike.
She was a monster.
She had it coming. This guy comes along, saves you, whisks you away, and the trophy comes up and it says bros before hoes, and they patched it and said bros before foes because one person probably complained about it, and no woman on earth has ever been offended by it ever.
I'm certain that some have.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem is not so much that there was an achievement for killing her off. It was, I mean, if you think about it, the storyline itself is one thing, but achievements are kind of direct little kudos from the developer to the gamer. And so for the developer to put up bros before hoes, I mean, quite honestly, the way they patched it,
I can't believe they did it without expecting someone to say anything, to be honest. I can't believe they – maybe they did it just to test it. Like, they're just like, oh, we'll see if we can get away with it or something.
But the worst part is what they patched is pretty funny, like bros before
hoes. It's a better name.
Good.
It is a better name, yeah. Because it says bros before hoes but not saying it, you know? It's funny.
Right.
Hey, never mind.
All right. Go to sleep, guys. Go get some ice cream, Chris.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Can I just let you know that you guys sound so dorky when you talk about this game, and you have no idea.
Can I just let you know that you sound so ignorant when you don't know what we're talking about?
And can I just let you know you are on a video game podcast?
Two good points.
I'll be back in five.
I still think my point trumps yours.
No, it doesn't actually. Your point is irrelevant,
in all seriousness. When I hear you talk about XCOM, I just think I have fucking no idea.
Well, what you should be thinking is I need to fucking get this game.
Exactly.
Exactly.
In fact, Mike, if you buy BioShock Infinite on Steam, you get a free copy of XCOM.
Well, I'd need a PC that would run both games.
Oh, I'll sell you mine.
No.
Hey everybody, yeah.
welcome to what?
You know, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
Fucking first time last week ever.
I know. It was sublime. Rich and I are like, wow. Got it off, started, no problem.
It's okay.
Hey everybody. God.
Greg didn't get it either.
No.
Alright, I'm you.
I think we've wasted 5 minutes now. Rich should be good. I'm one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law. Also joining me, can you guys hear me?
Absolutely.
Fucking A. Such a... There was the hiss suddenly disappeared, and I think it's because somebody muted themselves.
Mm.
And I'm like, wait a minute, it's awfully quiet.
So you actually fucked up your own intro there.
I fucked up my own.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was like a lag cast move right there.
Jeez.
It's quiet, so something must be wrong.
It's too quiet. All right, here we go.
Let's start over, shall we? Let's go away, shall we?
Bugs.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 200.
I just changed the batteries in my mouse. It did no good. I'm on my way back. I'll be back in 30 minutes.
No way, dude. All right, Webster, go back on mute, goddammit. I know it's you. You're the problem.
Mute.
That irked me and felt deceptive. These characters look like any other character in the game.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Primrose. Rich might be having some technical difficulties.
I think Rich is having some brain-neural difficulties.
Anyway. I love all sand then. What's going off?
We can still hear you.
Yeah.
Rich.
Skype. Mike was just Skype then.
It's always been your cue.
The spot. What do you mean the spotlight?
Community spotlight, you know, that cue?
No.
The thing that you usually waste time, you downloaded because I sent you the file earlier.
Oh, that? I honestly, I had no idea what you were talking about. Genuinely.
We run an efficient ship, let me tell you.
It is true. It is true.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.